Okay, Chevra, good evening. Okay, we have a lot to do because I really want to get into the Gemaras of Chanukah, which are coming up soon. Maybe we'll even be able to begin Chanukah tonight, although we can try. Let's just learn some Gemara. It's like the fifth wide line. There's skinny lines, middle wide lines, and very wide lines. It's the fifth of the middle wide lines. Tani Rami Barchama Psilos Ushmanim Shamru Chachamim E Manlikim and Meshabis E Manlikim Bahem B'mikdash Mishum Shenem Alahalos Ne'er Tamid. Right? Zakti Gemara that Psilos wicks Shmanim oils that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to use in the Beis HaMikdash, and this is because of the Pasuk Lahalos Ne'er Tamid. Can someone explain this to me? The Gemara explains in the next line. How does Lahalos Ne'er Tamid teach me I can't use it in the Mikdash? Because it has to be Hayadina.
Has to light nicely.
Shall have us Olam Eilel has to go up on its own. Has to light nicely, as opposed to Ola Yidei Davar Achir. If you're going to have Psilos Ushmanim, which don't draw well, if the wick flickers, so it won't be a good light. Now Rabbi Kiva Eger over here in the Goyan Hashas asks what we would call a Bam Kasha. You don't know why I didn't think of it. So what's Rabbi Kiva Eger's Kasha? Shmanim is going to be in the Mikdash. You can only use one type of oil. You can only use Shemen Zayis Zach. No, Shemen Zayis Zach is not the stuff that they sell in the kosher store on the 187th Street corner, Amsterdam. Shemen Zayis Zach is actually pure olive oil, not adulterated, etc. Only the first drop is necessary. Only first drop is allowed to be used. So Rav Kivager asks, one second, what do you mean that those oils, like the Shemen Kik, for example, right? The oil that comes from the Kikayon de Yona, or whatever it was, right? Or all the oils that are mentioned in the Mishnah, of course they're pasul for hadlaka in the Mikdash, because in the Mikdash you can only use Shemen Zayis Zach. That is a very strong kasha. So who wants to try to answer this kasha? Rav Kivager's kasha is very powerful. Anyone want to attempt to answer it? So in this razzle-dazzle Gemara, there is Talia. Was that a hand up? No hand. Okay. In this razzle-dazzle Gemara, they have the Hagos v'Tziyunim on the, you know, these. So look at Os Yud and the Hagos v'Tziyunim. Right? Ready? Tevas Ushmanim Lesa B'Ksav Yad U'B'Defus Son Sino. Letter in these red Gemaras.
Mine just said Sarif Lomar Shashan.
Okay, I don't know. I have Ozer Hadar, Maduras Friedman, Hagos Tziyunim on the bottom. I don't know. You have the same thing?
Yeah, but
it just doesn't say this. You don't have an Osiyud Tevas Ushmanim Lasab Xavyad? Only I have it? You also have that. Okay. So basically, whether or not you have it in the Gemara, it says as follows. What it says is that in the manuscripts of the Gemara, the word Shemen does not appear. Basically, what the Gemara says is only Psilos, She'amru Chachamim, Ein Madlikem B'Shabbos, not Shmanim, because Shemen is not necessary to mention since you can only use Shemen Zayis. You don't really have to look in the Hagos Tziyunim. If you look in the Perish of the Rabbeinu Chananel, which I think in all the Gemaras is on the side. Tani Rami Bar Chama, Psilos she'asru chachamim lahadlik mem b'Shabbos gam mikdash ein madlikin. Right. In other words, the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Meiri also has this, that the Gersa is only psilos. It's not psilos u shmanim. So that is probably the correct answer, but it's also very what we would say lumdishly unsatisfying, right? Because it's correct, you know, like they say the story about how Reb Chaim is up in the Olam HaEmes, and he finally meets the Rambam, and the Rambam asks, like, who are you? Why are you here? So he's like, oh, I wrote this whole wonderful sefer on your sefer. I wrote a wonderful sefer on the Rambam. So the Rambam asks Reb Chaim, give me an example of something that you said to explain some of my points. Reb Chaim says this whole razzle-dazzle shiur, and the Rambam's like, no, you totally missed it because, like, you had the wrong manuscript, and, like, the real thing that I wrote was totally different. So Reb Chaim then turns to the Rambam and says, that's why you entered a shver Rambam. Hey, that's how you answer a difficult Rambam? No. You have to answer with lomdes. Just to say, like, saf yad, it's so much better in Yiddish. Right? But just to say that in the manuscripts you don't have it, that doesn't really do anything. But, okay, that's probably MS. I think the Kutzker pointed out that MS is very far from v'yofe, no? Hashem Elokeichem, MS, v'yaseh, v'nochem, v'kayim, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, v'yofe. Right? So like MS and Yafa are very far apart. No? You never heard these? These are like classical jokes. Okay, weiter. So there are a few other answers that we could give. One answer, which is kind of razzle-dazzle and interesting, is as follows. Menachos Tav Tzadi Tes. How many menorahs were there in the Beis HaMikdash? Maybe.
Many.
The Psukim in Malachim speak about many different menorahs that were built. And the Gemara Menachos tells us that there were 10 different shulchanos and 10 different menorahs. And there's Machlokes HaTanoim, how many menorahs did they light? Did they light all 10 menorahs? Or did they light only one? Now, obviously, La Halacha, you only have to light, or for the real din of Hadlokes HaMenorah, you only have to light one menorah. Yet, according to one opinion, they're lighting all 10 menorahs. The idea could be that the requirement of Shemen, Zayis, Zach, etc. is only for that one menorah, but the other menorahs, they could light with any oil you wanted. And our Gemara says, by the way, you can't use the shmonim that are bad Shemen. Maybe that's the pshat. Maybe you only need Shemen, Zayis, Zach for the one Iker menorah. There are other approaches. If you will look, let's say, in the back of the Gemara, in the Chidushei Mitzvei Eson, or if you look in the Ritva, and footnote number 25 in the Ritva, so what they say is that they say that maybe we're not talking about lighting a menorah, we're talking about like other fires in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a very similar idea to this 10 menorah idea. The ten menorah idea is kind of defining where these other lights were, but the mitzvah eson and the ritva basically taina that when we say emadlikim b'mikdash, we're not talking about only hadlokas hamenorah. We're talking about any light in the mikdash. Again, these are interesting answers. Comes along the Adina. How are you?
Yeah. Just, when they say any lights in the mikdash, does he mean
I think so. I think it's just like lights just for a kavod issue at all, but still you shouldn't use it in the mikdash, and that's already a chiddush. That means that we're saying that this din of shetehei shal heves olame eleha is going on all the lights in the Beis HaMikdash, not only on the pashtus is it's only going on the light of the menorah, no?
Right.
Yeah, if you have this approach of 10 menorahs, I understand a little bit more, but if you even have the approach here, Milvad ha-menorah ha-yu madlikin kama neros b'mikdash. That's what the Mitzvah Eson says. And then apparently he's going to argue that the halacha in the Beis HaMikdash is that shalheves olam eilaha means that we want you to kind of minimize the amount of effort for anything you do in the mikdash, so only light candles that will ignite immediately. Don't light anything that will not ignite right away. Again, it's a chiddush. I don't fully understand it, but the Ritva over here in two places seems to be saying that as well, what the Mitzvah Eson says. The Mitzvah Eson points out that the Pashtus in our Gemara is that it's true on all the lights in the Mikdash as well. The Gemara goes on to speak about the lights at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, no? That the pants of the Kohanim and the what's it called, the Begodim of the Kohanim, when they began to fall apart towards the end of their life, so the Begodim were used for the lights of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And the Gemara asks, how could they do this? Aren't these some of the psilos that you're not supposed to use in the Mikdash? So the Gemara answers, no, it's Stamazoi, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, we allow it. It sounds like if not for the fact that it's a kula of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it would be forbidden, even though they are not using these things for the menorah. These wicks are not used as menorah wicks. They're extra lights, no? And the fact that they are extra lights gives you the impression, says the Mitzvah Eson, that the din of Lahalos Ne'er Tamid Shetei Shalheves Olamei Elaha, that's true on anything that you light in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the impression that you get. Okay. Comes along the Sfas Emes. And the Sfas Emes has the following interesting suggestion. In the Gemara earlier, we discussed what happens if I have some pusel oil and I add a teeny bit of kosher oil to it. Remember this? And what was the halacha? Good or no good?
No good.
No good. Right? The Gemara says it's no good. We discussed why it's no good, right? We had three approaches in the Rishonim why it's no good. But Lamaisa, it's not going to be good. Comes along the Sfas Emes and he says, let's say I have pusel oil, but I add a little bit of Shemen Zayis to that pusel oil. Now the halacha is that Isser is going to be Bittul and Heter. And in this situation, what emerges, it's like Bittul in reverse. That all of the pusel oil is going to become Bittul to the Shemen Zayis. And all of the pusel oil will become Shemen Zayis. The Sfas Emes is arguing that the concept of Bittul is a notion that it transforms the substance. When I say that this shemen will be bittul to the shemen zayis, that means that all the shemen will halachically become shemen zayis. He makes it similar to a principle in Meseches Challah called Greira. Greira is that I'm only chayiv to take challah, let's say, from wheat and barley. However, there's a special halacha that rice, orez, is nigrar achar, assuming that rice is orez, right? That's a different conversation. But rice is nigrar achar hachitim. And that means that, let's say, I don't have a full shear of challah, just from the wheat itself, but the rice combines with that and it gives me a shear. That means that bittul has a transformative notion, and says the Sfas Emes, maybe the pshat is that I would have said that I'm allowed to light with the shmonim she'ein madlikin bahem because I add a little bit of shemen zayis. Kamash malon, the chiddush is that no, I can't light with this shemen because since there's a din derabanan that I'm not allowed to light with a mixture of kosher oil and shreif oil. So here also in the Mikdash, I can't light with this mixture of Shemen Zayis and other oils. That's why the Sfas Emes learns the Gemara. Sophia, you seem confused.
I'm good.
Huh? Not yet. Okay. Let's say it again, and then I'll take Adina's question. Basically, the Sfas Emes is saying that when our Gemara speaks about Shmonim, She'ei Madlikin Behen, the Rebbe Kiva Eger asks, what do you mean? Oils. Of course you can't light with oil. You can only light with Shemen Zayis. Comes along the Sfas Emes and says, no, the case is that you have a mixture of Shemen Zayis and other oils, and I would have thought that this transformative Bittul and the whole thing becomes Shemen Zayis. Kamash Malan, you can't do it because it is, or it remains, a mixture of kosher oil with treif oil. And the Gemara told us a few lines ago that with respect to Shabbos, a mixture of kosher oil and treif oil is puzzle to light. Here also it's going to be puzzle. That's the Gemara as understood by the Sfas Emes. Hello, Adina.
Doesn't seem to be the shot of the Gemara at all.
Can you just speak louder because I'm deaf?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be the shot of the Gemara at all. I mean, he's talking about, the Gemara talks about Shmonim and Tilos, and it has nothing to do with either a mixture or, for example, the Tilos carved dover. So,
but in other words, it doesn't sound like it's talking about a mixture. However, the sequence of Gemara, the fact that I have this discussion immediately after a discussion of Karach Dover, She'ein Madlikin, Agabi Dover, She'ein Madlikin, etc., might give you the impression, or that's what tips the Sfas Emes off, that we might be talking about a mixture. It's possible. It's not absolute, but the Sfas Emes feels that this is good enough to learn the Gemara and to answer Reb Kiva Eger's question. That's what he suggests.
And now, isn't it the obvious that the non-mixture
The non-mixtures, of course, no good because it's not Shem and Zayis. I would have thought that Al Yedei, the mixture, it all becomes Shem and Zayis. Kamash Malon, the Chiddush is that it doesn't.
Why do you think that it's Batel to...
Because Isser is always Batel to Heter. And in this case, even though I have a tiny drop of Heter oil, since everything else is Usser, and we know that there's like a physical property that the kosher oil transforms everything else, maybe it transforms everything else to become Shem and Zayis.
He didn't say that before with the...
He did not say before with the Karach Dovar, right? This is, it's like a, it's a bigger Chiddush. What? In other words, it's an extension on the previous Gemara. You're right, in the previous Gemara, right, we're saying that all becomes kosher. Over here we're saying not only does it all become kosher, it all becomes kosher because it all becomes Shem and Zayis. The Kohens are like asking lots of questions. Okay, we have to get other families involved.
Where does the principle of Isser being always buckled
to Heter? Yeah, so...
In
kosher, there's no such thing as Heter being buckled to Isser.
So
right? Where does that come up?
Yeah.
I could give you some Marim Makomas on it. It's like Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Gimel is probably the best sugya for this in terms of Yayin Nesach and other things. It comes up in many places. That will take us very far afield.
Right.
So don't want to go there. Michal, you had a comment?
I was using my hand. It was related.
Okay. Fine. So that's the Sfas Emes's proof. Now, here's the question, though. In the previous Gemara, we discussed this gezeira that I have some kosher oil, some non-kosher oil. The Gemara says you can't light with it. Would that gezeira apply the mikdash?
No.
Usually, we have a rule in shvus b'mikdash. No. In fact, Tosfos at the bottom of the Tosfos Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Tosfos says that b'mikdash we don't make these gezeiras ki klal v'ikar. No. According to the Sfas Emes, the maskana of our Gemara is that we do not allow you to use a mixture of kosher oil and treif oil in the mikdash. Why? Because the same gezeira that I make earlier in the Gemara with respect to Shabbos, I'll make in the mikdash. Aye, what about ein shavus b'mikdash? So, I don't know. The Sfas Emes seems to be against Tosfos, no? And that's like a real problem, because I understand if you could be against a Tosfos in some different Masechta. If he's against a Tosfos that's like an inch and a half away from him, that's like highly problematic. No?
Does he have to agree with Tosfos?
No.
Isn't it?
But,
do people disagree on
Ein Shavus B'Mikdash? What? No one disagrees. The principle of Ein Shavus B'Mikdash is like basic Judaism. You can't disagree with that. It's like, you know, God gave the Torah, Ein Shavus B'Mikdash, it's like all there. Right? It's really. So... However, I think this might depend, conceptually, on what we were speaking about last time. If you remember, last time we learned, we pointed out that there's a machlokas between Rashi versus the Rambam about why we do not light with a mixture of kosher oil and shreif oil. Right? Who wants to tell me what Rashi said and what the Rambam said? Talia.
So Rashi said it was a gezeira, but the Rambam said that you would want to be stuck with it.
The Rambam says it's not a gezeira, it's that it won't burn well. It's a metzius, right? One could argue that the rule of Ein Shavus B'Mikdash is that gezeiras don't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. But if something is not a gezeira, if something is a fundamental metzius, don't use this oil because it's not going to burn well. Don't use a mixture of good oil and bad oil because it won't burn very well, according to the Rambam. And the halacha in the Mikdash is it's got to burn well. So therefore, I'm not going to say, it's only a din d'rabbanan. That would make sense in Rashi land. But in the Rambam land, it doesn't make sense. In other words, I think what we could suggest to be miyashiv of the Sfas Emes is that the Sfas Emes is actually disagreeing with Tosfos, but the Sfas Emes might have a Rambam backing him up. Again, this is my idea. If you like it, you'll get extra points on the test. If you don't like it, you'll get fewer points. You don't have to like it. Right? It's my idea, but I sort of hold something over you. Okay, weiter. Sounds good? Should we go on, ladies? Oh. Then the Gemara says, Tanan, we bring this Mishnah in Sukkah, that they use the Mivrei Michnasei Kohanim Mehem Nehem, the belts of the Kohanim and the pants of the Kohanim when they begin to get all worn. So, Mehen Hayu Mafkin, Mehen Malikin, right, that they use them to light in the Mikdash. So the Gemara asks, how are they allowed to use them to light in the Mikdash? It won't burn well. And if it won't burn well, it won't be Shalheves Olamei Elaha. So the Gemara answer is Simchas Beis HaShoeva Shani. Right? Simchas Beis HaShoeva is different. And then the Gemara brings again that Bigdei Kahuna Shebalu, also they would use as Psilos Lamikdash for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Gemara answer is no, we're only talking about the Butz, etc. Beautiful. Now, why is it that for Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they are able to use these wicks that would not burn well and would ordinarily not be allowed to be used in the Mikdash? Why is Simchas Beis HaShoeva different? That's one question. And the second and related question is, what on earth is Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Right? So I know what you're thinking. Yeah, you know, you go to somebody's sukkah and you sing some songs and that's Simchas Beis HaShoeva, no? But what exactly is going on here? So, how does Rashi learn Simchas Beis HaShoeva Shaini? Elisheva.
Well, it doesn't say, regarding the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it doesn't say that the Shalavim has to be like Olam HaLana, so it doesn't have to like burn as well. So you could use it. And it's also not Doraita.
So Rashi says a few different things, no? Rashi says, point one, it doesn't say the words Lahalos there. Point two that Rashi says is that it's not Doraita, no? And l'cha'ora, you don't need the fact that it's not d'oraisa, because even if it would be d'oraisa, it doesn't say l'halos. Right? So, the Rashi is difficult. But many of the Achronim, if you look around the back of the Gemaras, you'll see like a bunch of people make this point, that when Rashi says it's not d'oraisa, Rashi is just saying his own opinion, even though it's not necessary for this Gemara. Sometimes Rashi, as a Rebbe, just decides to add extra information that's not necessary to explain the particular Gemara at hand, but nonetheless, Rashi says it just for the heck of it. And that's entirely possible. Again, not completely satisfactory, but it's possible. What does the Rambam hold about Simchas Beis HaShoeva? For the Rambam, is it d'oraisa or not d'oraisa? Liat, what? Not exactly. I mean, the Rambam writes, the Rambam at the very end of Hilchos Sukkah writes that there's a Hilchos Lulav, whatever it is. The Rambam writes that there is a special mitzvah of simcha on the Yontif of Sukkos, and by Mikdash they had extra simcha. Right? You get the impression that for the Rambam, it is part of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. Rashi is saying it's entirely rabbinic, but for the Rambam, you get the impression, I probably should have brought a Rambam, but for the Rambam, you get the impression that it is extra simcha, part of the Simchas Hechag. That's the way the Rambam seems to say it. Good?
Could it be that the Rambam was saying that there is this extra in Yom HaSimcha, like this is how they chose to celebrate it? Or did it this is the mitzvah.
You get an impression from the Rambam that the Rambam is writing that there was simcha yisera haisa b'mikdash. In other words, that there's simchas yontiv, and then there's extra simcha in the beis hamikdash.
But you say, yeah, like, oh, but simcha applies to other chagim also, and then the simcha yisera only quotes the pasuk, but doesn't it?
I thought the Rambam is saying that the simcha yisera, simchas beis hashoeva, was like double simcha yisera. Every yontiv there's simcha. Simcha on Sukkis you have more simcha. There's simcha in terms of usmachtim of Hashem with velulav, etc. Right? It's like extra simcha. And simcha's beis hashoeva is super duper extra simcha. I think that's the impression you get from the Rambam. That, I don't know if we're saying things that are that different, but the Rambam is adding that there's extra simcha in the beis hamikdash, called simcha's beis hashoeva. But you don't see, or you see that it's not just the Rabbanon. You get an impression from the Rambam that Simchas Beis HaShoeva is the Oraisa. Point two. That's just...
Is that why it wouldn't be dope as Shabbat?
So that would be... If it's Drabbanon, so certainly it's not going to... The Mishnah writes Hecholiel is not the musical instruments that they played in the Mikdash at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was not Doche Shabbos, even though when they brought Karbanos, it would be Doche Shabbos, and the Shira al HaKarban was Doche Shabbos, but the Cholel of Simchas Beis HaShoeva was not Doche Shabbos. Now for the Rambam, you have to ask, why is it not Doche Shabbos? Right? If it's Drabbanon, I understand. And that's what Rashi writes. But if it's Doiraisa for the Rambam, why is it not Doche Shabbos? We have to flesh that out, but probably. Because Simchas Beis HaShoeva might be Doiraisa, but the Doiraisa is that you should be extra super duper happy, and somehow Chazal felt that on Shabbos that's not as necessary. It requires more teeth. Let's hold it. Good point. Good. Now, Simchas Beis HaShoeva was the special joy that they had when they did a mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim b'Mikdash, no? Nisuch HaMayim is that throughout the year, whenever you bring a carbon, so we say Minchasam b'Niskehem, etc., that they'd pour wine on the Mizbeach. On Sukkot, they had like a whole procedure that they'd go down to the Shiloach. The Shiloach is Silwan, down in Ir David. Do not go there on your own without an armed guard. But they would go down and they would draw water and they'd bring the water up and they'd pour that water on the Mizbeach. And it was a special simcha that was connected to the special simcha that's connected to the mitzvah. Nisuch HaMayim is a simchas Beis HaShoeva. But for the Rambam, it's like a part of Simchas Hechag. And for Rashi, it's entirely Midrabanan. That's the impression that you get. Now, I would like to argue the following. Yesh Lachkar. We have to try to figure out Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Or Simchas Beis HaShoeva is like a derivative. The mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim. Nisuch HaMayim, they pour water on the Mizbeach. The Gemara Yuma tells me that they poured the water on the Mizbeach during the Karban Tomid Shol Shachar. Every day they'd bring a Tomid Shol Shachar, Tomid Bein HaHabayim. During the Tomid Shol Shachar, they'd pour water on the Mizbeach during the Yontif HaSukkos. Is the Nisuch HaMayim, is it a din in the Karban? Or is the Nisuch HaMayim not a din in the Karban? Maybe the Nisuch HaMayim is a din in the Yontif. Every Yontif, I have mitzvahs, no? On Rosh Hashanah, I have a mitzvah called Tekiyah Shofar. On Sukkot, I have a mitzvah called Lulav. Those are not mitzvahs of the Mizbeach. It's not part of the Karban. It's a mitzvah of the Yontif, no? Pesach, I have a mitzvah of Matzah. It's not connected to the Karban. It's a mitzvah of the Yontif. Is the Nisuch HaMayim, is it a din of the Yontif? Or is the Nisuch HaMayim not a din on the Yontif, but it's a different type of korban that was brought? Ordinarily, a korban has only Nisuch HaYayin, but on Sukkot, the korban mandated Nisuch HaMayim also. Is the Nisuch HaMayim a din in the korban, or is the Nisuch HaMayim a din in the Yontif? That is a basic question in Judaism, no?
Judaism 101.
This is like the basics. You know, you go to any other college on the planet and you want to know like the basics of Judaism, so they'll start discussing Nisuch HaMayim, right? Because it's basic. Right? Agreed. Ah. So what would you say? Bring me a raya from a Tosis on this page to this question, and then we'll try to flesh it out a bit. Remember, right, we're making an assumption. Simchas Beis HaShoeva is connected to Nisuch HaMayim. And we have a question regarding Nisuch HaMayim, whether it's a din in the Karban or a din in the Yontif.
Well, Tosfot here says, Sorah Karban Chashuvah.
Good. Right, Tosfot says that how, or right, Tosfot is bothered by Akasha. How are they allowed to burn these begodim? It should be an iser mi'ilah. It's illicit use of hekdesh when you burn the begodim. So Tosfos answers, it's sorech hakarben. Right? In other words, Simchas Beis HaShoeva is connected to the carbon. Now, obviously, Tosis is like missing a step, right? What Tosis really means is that Simchas Beis HaShoev is connected to Nisuch HaMayim, and Nisuch HaMayim is connected to the carbon. But Tosis is saying Simchas Beis HaShoev is considered Sorech HaKarbon, Adina.
Could you read the Tosis as saying that when he says Sorech HaKarbon, he means Nisuch HaMayim is as if it's a carbon?
That Nisuch HaMayim is what?
Is like the carbon itself, because...
That the Nisuch HaMayim is like a carbon? That, I think, is harder. But I don't think it will change my... No, you're saying that we're not proving that Nisuch HaMayim is connected to the carbon. We're proving that Simchas Beis HaShoev is connected to Nisuch HaMayim, and Nisuch HaMayim is considered a carbon.
Right. It seems like the whole thing is like parallel to how normal korbanos are given. It's like there's the normal korban is given, and then at night there's the Hector Cholam and Yigarim.
Right.
It's like basically they put in Nisuch HaMayim as a carbon, and Simchas Beis HaShoev with all the lights.
I mean, it's a little bit funny because like the Nisuch is the carbon.
Right, so there's no actual Nisuch. Right. I guess it could be the carbon and then someone's...
I mean, I think it's an easier read of the Tosfos to assume that he's just like jumping a step. That Simchas Beis HaShoev is connected to Nisuch HaMayim, and Nisuch HaMayim is connected to the carbon. Mm-hmm. And therefore, what Tosfos would be saying is that Nisuch HaMayim is a din in the carbon. It's not a halacha on the yontiv, right? It's not a din on the yontiv. It's not something like tekiyah shofar. It is a halacha on the carbon. I think that's the easier read of Tosfos. Again, Adina is suggesting a different read of the Tosfos. I'm inclined that this is an easier pshat. Now, of course, this issue, whether Nisuch HaMayim is a din on the yontiv or a din in the carbon, is developed beferish in Rishonim. There is a line in the Ritva at the end of chapter 4 of Sukkah. What is the Ritva? Right, the end of the fourth parak of Sukkah. I think I gave this to you in the Makoros. I saw some people trying to find the Ritva. The din l'chag, right? The Ritva writes explicitly, this is not a din in the carbon. It is a din in the yontif. No? What's a nafgamina? So nafgamina might be as follows. Remember, Nisuch HaMayim is supposed to be done with the Tamid Shel Shachar. Now, am I allowed to do Nisuch HaMayim before the Tamid Shel Shachar? So that is a dispute between Tosfos and Rambam, or Tosfos and Rashi, if you want to be razzle-dazzle, on the first page of Tainus, no? Usually people learn, Tainus is like a common mesecta that people learn, but we don't realize that like, there's Lomdus and Dabbez and Tainus about Nisuch HaMayim, no? It's like so awesome, right? So there's actually a stapler in Mesechus Menachos who like develops all of this, and it's Simen Ches and the stapler on Menachos. But the basic idea that is developed is the Gemara in the Tainus on Daf Beis has a question. Right? Remember, Tainus speaks about when do we begin to say Mein Masai Maskirin Vores Shamin? When do we begin saying Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem? And the first opinion in the Mishnah is the opinion of the Tan Rebbe Eliezer. The Rebbe Eliezer says that you begin the first day of Sukkot. No? First day of Sukkot. So Gemara has a question. Do you begin Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem at night, or you begin it the first day? Right? Do we learn it from Lulav, Zok the Gemara? And just like Lulav, we only take Lulav, Ulkachem Lechem Bayom HaRishon, we take Lulav Biyom Nachalayla. So also, the time of Eliezer would say that we are Mazkirin Gevuras Geshamim Biyom Nachalayla, or maybe Zok the Gemara, Mi Nisuch HaMayim Gamarlay. Maybe I learn from Nisuch HaMayim, and Nisuch HaMayim is Meorta, Nisuch HaMayim is at night. So also, Maskirin Gevuras Geshamim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is at night. Now, what does it mean that Nisuch HaMayim is at night? So Rashi jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels. And Rashi says, by the way, Rashi and Tainus, for the academic Talmudists among us, was written by someone other than Rashi. It's not Rashi. Right? Whatever. There's we could discuss that on a different occasion, but Rashi and Tainus is a night, as Rabbi Rosenzweig says. It's a reputable Rishon, but it's not Rashi. Okay, some other fellow. I remember when I was in high school, we were learning the Dharma. So my Rebbe was trying to convince us not to learn Rashi in the Dharma. When you learn the Dharma, you learn the Ram, you don't learn Rashi. So my Rebbe said that he heard, when he learned the Dharma the first time, that the commentary that's called Rashi in the Dharma is written by Rashi's daughters, and therefore we shouldn't learn it. Whatever. But I mean, the Rashi on the Dharm is not Rashi. It's someone else. It's a reputable Rishon. Not Rashi. Rashi on Tainus is a reputable Rishon, not Rashi. But the point is that Rashi says, what does it mean that Nisuch HaMayim is at night? So there are two comments on Rashi. Who wants to tell me the two comments of Rashi on Tainus base somewhere? Huh? Fill up the kli at night. In other words, they don't pour the water on the mizbeach at night. No. Heaven forfend. Yeah, you can't pour the water in the mizbeach unless it's during the tumid shel shachar. So they would just fill up the kli at night. That's one comment of Rashi. What's the other comment of Rashi? In Tainus Daf Beis. I thought I brought up Tainus, but I guess I... Huh? That's okay. Well, look at it. Ms. Kelman, what's the other comment of Rashi? But which night does Rashi mean? The second night of Yontif, not the first night. Rashi holds that Nisuch HaMayim could not be done the first night of Yontif. Maimonides, Rambam, Beferish says that you could do Nisuch HaMayim first night of Yontif, no? Taisvis in Tainus says that you could do Nisuch HaMayim the first night of Yontif. We say that Eimin Nasan Ela B'Tomit Shor Shachar. Taisvis says that means when you're Chayiv to do Nisuch HaMayim. But if you want, you could do Nisuch HaMayim the night before. This Chakira, whether you could do Nisuch HaMayim the first night of Yontif, depends on whether Nisuch HaMayim is a din in the Yontif or a din in the Karbin. If Nisuch HaMayim is a din in the carbon, of course I can't do it the first night of Yontif. Right? Maybe I could do it the second night of Yontif, because once I brought a carbon of the Yontif, maybe that gives me a heter to do Nisuch HaMayim afterwards. But before I bring the carbon, I can't bring Nisuch HaMayim. The only reason I could do Nisuch HaMayim before I bring the carbon is if Nisuch HaMayim is fundamentally a halacha on the Yontif. It's akin to Tkiyah Shofar, Nitilas Lulav, Hachilas Matzah. It's a din on this Yontif. It's not a din in the carbon. Okay. Very nice. Beautiful. So I get the impression from the Rambam as follows. It seems to me that maybe the Rambam is consistent. You see, we pointed out that the Rambam says that Simchas Beis HaShoeva is the Oraisa, right? And the Rambam says that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is the Simcha of the Nisuch HaMayim, and the Nisuch HaMayim is a din on the Yontif. Because for the Rambam, in Perek Yud of Tmina Musafim Halacha Zayin, I could do Nisuch HaMayim the first night of Yontif. If that's the case, you get an impression that Simchas Beis HaShoeva is Simchas Yontif. It's zooped up Simchas Yontif, which is a din d'oraisa. If Simchas Beis HaShoeva is a din in the carbon, so then we could argue, like, and Rashi says Simchas Beis HaShoeva is a din in the carbon, or whoever wrote the commentary on Tainus says it's a din in the carbon. If it's a din in the carbon, so we could say a carbon never mandates Simcha. Right? I mean, there's no... Whenever I bring a carbon, I don't have a special mitzvah of simcha. How come the simcha space of shoeva? For Rashi, that's entirely drabonon. I get the impression, again, this is like not airtight by any stretch. It's not mukhrach at all. But I get the impression that for the Rambam, simcha space of shoeva is a enhanced simchas yontif. Because for the Rambam, Nisuch HaMayim itself is a din on the Yontif. So the joy that I have with this special mitzvah, Nisuch HaMayim, that's enhanced Simchas Yontif. For Rashi, I get the impression, not like that. Again, I'm painting with broad strokes, but I think there's something to it. Should we go on? Once we talk about Nisach HaMayim, let me just say a little shtickle Torah, because it was recently Sukkot, so I still remember this. The Gush came out with a Sidra of Svarim for each Chag now. So there's the Sidra. They published it together with Yediot Achronot. So in the book that has the very catchy title called Sukkot, that was published by the Gush, so they have a shtickle Torah from Rav Meidan. Right. Rav Meidan is like one of the Rashi Yeshiva in the Gush now. So Rav Meidan maintains that the idea of Simchas Beis HaShoeva is as follows. It's the opposite of Bikurim. You see, the mitzvah of Bikurim is that the farmer works very hard all year, and finally the first fruits come. So the farmer is all excited that he wants to eat it, she wants to eat it, and the Torah says, no, no, no. Don't, that first thing, all the effort that you put in, bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, show that it belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? That's a mitzvah bikurim. Simchas Beis HaShoeva, or Nisach HaMayim, is the opposite. If I live in Eretz Yisrael, I get my water, let's say, from a well. The well is in my backyard. In Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't really rain over the summer. So, throughout the summer, I'm looking at my well, and my water is going down, 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 down. Come Sukkot time, I have almost no water left. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take that last little drop of water that you have, the tiniest bit that remains, and I want you to give it to me. Pour it on the Mizbeach. And that's the mitzvah of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Simchas Beis HaShoeva is that we're happy that we are taking this last little bit, right? You have to realize that if it doesn't rain, if you don't say Geshem with Kavan, if it doesn't rain, your well is going to be dry, you're going to die. You're not going to have any water. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is still saying, I want you to take, again, conceptually, I want you to take that last drop of water and pour it on the Mizbeach. Like, basically, dump it out. The idea is to have faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we're happy because of our confidence that Kadosh Baruch Hu will refill those wells. But Meidan points out that this idea of Simchas Beis HaShoeva is being pouring the last water, something that we see with the episode of Eliyahu HaNavi at Har HaKarmel, no? Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel, so if you remember the episode over there, is that Eliyahu and Ahav are like having this whole fight, and Eliyahu, it's like basically every day, and Eliyahu tells Ahav, listen, Ahav, dude, you know, you're like really bad, and therefore God is not going to allow it to rain at all. And it doesn't rain for like 3 years, no? And then Eliyahu appears to Ahav again, and he says, okay, you know, we're going to have like this whole challenge up on Har HaKarmel. You take your 450 Nevi'ei Baal, 400 Nevi'ei Asherah. Somehow the Nevi'ei Asherah like die at some point in the middle, because only the Nevi'ei Baal make it to the top of the mountain. But you'll take your Nevi'im, and like I'm going to bring a carbon, you'll bring a carbon, we'll have the fire come down from Shamayim. Whoever the fire comes down from Shamayim, he wins. Right? That's the story. Okay, that's the part of Eliyahu Har HaKarmel that we remember. The part that we don't remember from the story so much is that Eliyahu tells his lads, he says, you know what? Go and take water, and I want you to pour it on this animal that's on the Mizbeach. And then he sends them again. Take the water, pour it on the animal. Like three times. Take the water, pour it on the animal. Now, if we remember the story, we remember the story that, oh yeah, it's going to make a greater nace when the Eish is Yorid Min HaShamayim, that it not only burns an animal, it burns a wet animal. No? Great. But there's more to it. Eliyahu is telling his students, you know what? There's no water left in the country. Whatever tiny drops of water you have, I have such faith that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to send down the fire, and then rain will come in Eretz Yisrael, that take that last bit of water, pour it, pour it, pour it, pour it, and that will be the nace. I think that actually adds a great deal. Okay. So, let's just chazer what we have, and then we'll add one nekuda, and I'll take Michal's question, if I'm in a good mood. But, basically we have a question, where the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which is connected to Nisach HaMayim, is the Nisach HaMayim a din in the Karmah, is the Nisach HaMayim a din in the Yontiv? So we're pointing out that maybe this is a machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi. That the Rambam who says that Nisach HaMayim, the Rambam who says that Simchas Beis HaShoeva is Doi Raisa, that's because the Rambam holds it's that Nisach HaMayim is a din in the Yontiv. So Simchas Beis HaShoeva is an inherent Simchas Yontiv. For Rashi, that's a din in the carbon. Perhaps the Simcha, we don't have any fancy Simcha by any carbon. Perhaps the Simcha is only a din d'rabbanon, and the nafgamina is whether you could do nisach hamayim the night before, right? And there's also a nafgamina if you want to be very creative, whether there's pigol on nisach hamayim. Pigol is if I have a machshava that I'm going to do it chutz le'mekolo. That's considered pigol, no? Pigol hu chutz le. It's only chutz le'zmano, not chutz le'mekolo. Chutz le'zmano. That's called pigol, and it's a bad. It's not a good carbon. Is there pigol on nisach hamayim? So there's a tosefta in the third perek of Sukkah, halacha zayin, that the way we have the girsa on the tosefta, there is pigol on nisach hamayim, but the Vilna Gaon changes the girsa in the tosefta and says that there's no pigol on the nisach hamayim. And that's probably this issue. Okay, you had a question.
I had a comment about the shtickel Torah, but...
Yeah, I take comments.
I was just going to say, isn't that like this general message that we're saying that like you have so much betelchem from Hashem that you can give up the rest of your water? So isn't that like the message of sukkahs in general, the same message of going out to the sukkah and saying I'm not going to be protected for however many days?
Right, that's one of the messages of sukkahs, especially like sukkahs in Zechariah speak about the sukkah as a place of shalom. Nazir Mechamas Gog and Magog, so you have Iran and North Korea who are like shooting nuclear missiles, and you're supposed to be in the sukkah and it's going to protect you somehow. Right? Hey, that's the impression that you get from the Pesukim in Zechariah. Right? Yeah, so the Sukkah protects you even though it seems very, very flimsy. Right? Same idea, absolutely. Okay. Okay. Yeah, and there's a few other points that we could make in this Tosfos, but I think... Okay, I think I'd like to... kind of begin the next Gemara. Did anyone begin the next Gemara? The Chanukah Gemara yet? Okay, so what we'll do is for next time, maybe we'll break, and for next time we'll begin the next Gemara about the Psilos and Shmoni. There are three opinions in the Gemara. Look at the Tosas, look at the Chidushei HaRamban, look at the Shulchan Aruch and Ramon, the Mishnah Berurah, and Tofresh Ayin Gimel, Se'if Beis. Yeah, fine. I'll send out the Makaros. I already sent out some of these Makaros. I'll send a few more Makaros. And we'll discuss this next time we learn. And, okay. Now, Rabbi Clapper has requested to give a shiur to our group. The question is when. He's in now or something. He'll be in next week. He might even be able to give a shiur tomorrow. Would people want an extra shiur tomorrow from Rabbi Clapper, or people want Chavrusa time?
Could be a different day than tomorrow.
Huh?
He's also giving a shiur in the morning Seder tomorrow, so
yeah.
People who are...
That's why he's here.
A lot of, like,
okay, so maybe we'll try to get him a different time. So I'll be in time. In other words,
yeah,
we'll try to get Rabbi Clapper a different time. Whatever. We're like, Rabbi Clapper grew up in Washington Heights. His parents, Diamond and Meishel.
Breuer's.
Huh? He went to Breuer's. Hey, so... Okay, so we can, so I'll work out with Rabbi Clapper and I'll tell you when he's available. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Talia.